Welcome to the Latin MedTech Leaders Podcast, a conversation with MedTech leaders who have succeeded or plan to succeed in Latin America. Please subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Pandora, or Deezer. Welcome to the Latin MedTech Leaders Podcast, a conversation with leaders who have succeeded or plan to succeed in Latin America. Today, our guest is Luis Meireles, PhD and CEO at MDI Industrial, a medical device manufacturer in Brazil. Luis is also a senior consultant for European companies looking to do business in Brazil. So, Luis, it's great to have you here in the show. Welcome.
Thank you for the invitation. It will be a pleasure to share some experience and some thoughts if they are useful.
Excellent, Luis. I'm so happy to have you here today. I'm sure many of our listeners are very curious about Brazil. Brazil, as you know, is a huge market. It's the largest market for medical devices in Latin America. So I always enjoy speaking with people like you. I've only had about two guests like you, two or three, I don't remember. But it's such a huge country that we can have 200 guests and still don't cover the whole market, right?
It is a difficult market, but huge, huge, very large.
All right. So, Luis, let's get started talking about your journey to Latin America. You are from Portugal and you moved to Brazil. How is it that you got involved with the medical device business in Brazil and Latin America?
Well, this is a very long story that I'll try to resume in a few minutes. Otherwise, we can stay all day speaking about this. Okay, but I'll try to do it fast. Okay, so I'm PhD in biotechnology, so my life started in the academy. I was a university teacher for a few years during my PhD, and I started a postdoctorate as well. But then I decided to raise my own company, and that was in Portugal. That was almost 20 years ago, kind of. And then I started to work in the medical field. I always was very close to the medical field. I found out the cardiology market, and I started to work with several cardiologists. We raised a company in Portugal that was targeting that market. It was a startup. It was doing well. But with the crisis in Portugal, I don't know if you remember, but Portugal, Spain, Greece, we had the FMI in there. So it was kind of tough at that moment for the startups. And we were growing in Brazil. Okay, we had already a partnership in Brazil. We had our product certified here. So I moved here initially for 1 year or a couple of years just to launch the project here, try to make some grow in Brazil, which was the same language, and then go back. But during that course, I decided to stay here and started to understand this market. And I started to work with another companies here. And now I'm here for more than one decade working in the medical device industry.
Wow. Fascinating journey. I'm sure you have so much to tell about your stories and challenges in Brazil, because Brazil is famous for being kind of a difficult market to penetrate. Lots of laws and regulations, and it's protective, right?
Supposedly not, but it is. It is protective, and it is difficult to penetrate. It's not very easy. You need to understand the culture first, and everything is different. Everything is different. So it's really hard to just pick a product from America or Europe, which can be market leader there, and then implement it here and be successful, because the challenges are very big. There are hurdles, and it's difficult to understand how to do that. So you need first to understand the market, then to understand the people, the culture, and to set up a plan to do that. I did it with one American company at that time. We implemented Mortara Instruments. Mortara was a Milwaukee-based company. They were leader in cardiology at that time. In Europe, they were growing fast. And we started distribution here in Brazil. And we were running to be market leaders. So the growth was enormous. But then the Mortaro was acquired by Hiram, and Hiram then was acquired by Baxter and whatever. So things changed. But the project and the experience remain, and we are still known as the persons that that brought Mortaro and implemented Mortaro here.
Excellent, excellent. So, Luis, let's talk about trends. What trends do you see happening in Brazil or in Latin America that are worth mentioning today that are relevant to our discussion? Any political, economic, social trends that you see?
First, you need to understand, or people need to understand, that Latin America is a continent with several countries, and it is totally different. To enter in Brazil or Colombia or Chile is different, and the strategies are totally different, and the countries are in different positions right now. Of course, Brazil is the major country of Latin America. There are 220 million people in Brazil. It's a huge, huge market. So it's a very good playground to enter. And if you enter Brazil, which is difficult, then you have the doors open to the rest of the Latin America, okay? Because you can have a very strong base. Brazil it should be one of the wealthy and rich countries in the world. There is everything here. You have oil, you have gold, you have diamonds, you have amazing agriculture, you have the rainforest, the Amazonian rainforest. Should be the most rich country in the world.
Manufacturing. There's so much manufacturing happening in Brazil. Airplanes, cars, medical devices, everything. TVs, I mean, everything.
They do everything here. It's a huge, huge market and should be quite rich and wealthy. It's not because of political and historical reasons, etc., but it should. But what I see, and I see a huge evolution in the last 10 years, it will take 100 years maybe, it will take a few generations, but is getting stronger and the market is getting bigger and things will evolve. So these emerging countries will be focused in the next years. Okay. One trend that I see in the medical device industries that I didn't see when I arrived is that it's getting more and more protective. Okay. It is getting more difficult to register products here, for instance, than it was 10 years ago. The regulation is getting tightened, and it's not that easy now to get a medical device certification here.
Especially if it is of a higher class, right? Class 3.
Especially if it is a higher class. So I think that it was kind of easy. It was cumbersome and usually it took time because the processes were bureaucratic, but it was easy. It was time-consuming, but easy. Now, it is the opposite. Anvisa, which is the medical device regulator here, is working pretty much well. They answer fast. They answer professional. But they have tightened the rules, and it's not that easy to get things done, which is good for good companies. Okay, so we are filtering the market, and the strongest and the organized and the good products will stay, and the poor products and Chinese products and products with less regulatory systems will have difficult to grow. The last legislation that arrived last couple of months, I believe it was May. April of May, is now, for instance, medical device software is subject to regulation, which was not. So, for instance, if you were to register a medical device that has the equipment, the device, and a software, the regulation was only on the device. The software was not subject to regulation. Now it is. So they will audit the software engineers, how it was done. You have to give all the documentation of the software, how it is done, etc. Similar to Europe, for instance, which is new. And it will change lots of things now because it will make things harder. So that is a trend that we need to consider. It is getting difficult to get registration here, yet is possible and professional. And that is a huge change, because few years ago, people didn't want to come to Brazil because to register a product in Anvisa was very difficult, because they don't answer, it takes 2 years, and it's nothing like this right now. It's professional, but if you have the right consultants and the right team and the correct quality management system, you are able to do it in the precise times.
And also, if you have a reference country approval, I guess that helps a lot.
It helps, but it is not mandatory.
Okay. Okay.
But it helps. Now, Anvisa is part of an international plan that has FDA, that has Japanese and Canadian.
Oh, MDSAP, isn't it?
Yes. So you can use MySAP with MISAP or MySAP with Brazil and Visa as well. Europe is still out, but it is expected to come, and that will maybe do things easier. So for me, that is a major trend. Regulatory is now professional, but more difficult. That is one trend. The other is that the market is getting more and more competitive. Okay. In Brazil, we now are facing I don't see a problem, but it is a trend. In Brazil, you have two markets, the public sector and the private, and they are totally, totally different. And the strategics must be different for both, because it's like two different markets, two different countries, two different approaches. But on the private sector, what we'll see and what we are seeing, there are major groups, which are very few, 3 or 4 groups that are buying all the hospitals in Brazil. For instance, I live in Salvador, and in the past 4 years, all the private hospitals were acquired. There are no more private hospitals.
Individual, independent.
They were acquired by major networks that are buying hospitals almost every month. Okay.
Wow.
So that is good and bad.
That's what's called systems in the United States, because the audience is familiar with that terminology.
Why that is good? Because if you get to enter that hospital network, you will sell to all country. There are networks that started with 10 hospitals and now they have hundreds of hospitals. So if you get to your products inside, then you will sell to all the network. So that is good. The part that is bad, it is more difficult, because everybody is trying to do so. So we need to be good to do that. And then you have the pricing issues. As they are big, what they are trying to do, they are trying to acquire and purchase in huge quantities, but lowering your margin. So you need to be very, very smart to be able to succeed. For instance, selling the products at lower margins so you can get in, and then have a very good effective servicing that make you win during the time, with accessories, with servicing, with trainings, etc. For instance, so you need to have strategies to go there. The good news is that you have to focus in a few customers. It's easier to do. In terms of time or in terms of focus, but it's difficult. So you need to play well to get in. So that is a trend. So you have now 4 very, very, very big groups, and there are a few others, but there are 4 that are just exploding and buying hospitals and hospitals and hospitals.
So it's consolidation of a fragmented industry.
Yes.
Used to be very fragmented, now it's more consolidated. So there is a trend of consolidation where the hospital systems are acquiring independent hospitals and creating large networks.
Exactly. So one is the public sector for hospitals, the other is the private, and the private is being merged, so you need to know where you act. And then you have the primary care, which for me is the most difficult one, because Brazil is huge land. The infrastructure of transportations is poor. Okay, you have to travel by plane. You can't travel by car. There is no trains to travel between cities. So you have to be present. And if it is hospitals, you can go to the major groups. If it is public, you have public tenders. That's now everything online, etc. So you can manage.
So there's centralized purchasing in Brazil,
yes,
by the government, national government. Okay.
But if your product, for instance, is for primary care for physician offices, small, then you need to make a sales representative network.
Yeah, all over the country.
Over the country, because you can't be there easily. Okay, so you need to define different segments, and then you have to attack each segment differently. Okay, so that is one issue that you need to understand. And as there were lots of companies coming to Brazil in the 80s and in the 90s that appear and disappear, they change distribution lots of times. Customers here, they don't trust outside brands in their offices unless they have somebody near that says, look, doctor, I will support you. I have all the information. And if they don't have, they don't buy.
Yeah, interesting.
It's quite interesting. In cardiology, there are 17,000 cardiologists in Brazil.
17,000 cardiologists.
17. Okay.
Yeah.
1,000 cardiologists. But the persons working in the cardiology selling devices are the same. Always the same. It's a very closed group. And the brand is a commodity. Okay. The brand is a commodity. The cardiologist locally will buy what that person is selling him.
Okay, because he trusts him or her, because he's local. He speaks the same language. He's there forever. He knows where he lives.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's there for 20 years with a company there, changing and always supporting the customers. So to get this primary care, the trick is to set up a sales representative network and get those small companies that are local in supporting to work for you. So you need to be smart and to say that you have a good portfolio with good prices, that you will support them, that you can sustain, and then they will risk to change what they are doing and try to promote your brand. And they will never do a swap like instant. They will test you. They will test in small customers. They will see how you work. So there is a trust relation that you need to build until they really promote your brand. So, and that is difficult to acquire until you get a sales representative network. It takes a while. And you see, you have 27 states in Brazil. They are all separated and all with their individualities and different things. So it's difficult. So you need to have at least 20-25 sales reps around Brazil. And you have to be able to manage them and to teach and to coach. And but it is possible to do it.
Interesting. So let's go back to the public system. There's only one public healthcare system, or there are several? For example, in Mexico, they have like five. You know, the military, the teachers, the what the government provides for the low-income people. So how many systems do you see in Brazil?
We have a lot. Look,
a lot. That's what I imagine. It's a huge country.
You have the central government. Look, because Brazil is a federation of states. So the states have some independence about the federal government. So you have federal tenders.
Healthcare systems.
Okay.
And national healthcare systems too.
That should be national. Then you have the local states, which will also provide tenders. And they are all different. And then you have smallest ones like big cities like São Paulo.
They have their own hospitals in the city. Wow.
So you have more or less
three different layers. Yeah.
And look, of course they are public. Of course they are tenders. And there is now what they call the transparency portal, which is a huge online system where you can consult all public tenders and the results of the public tenders and what was paid, what was delivered, when was delivered, who has delivered. That is public information. If you have time, to do it, okay, that will be public. So you can, and there are companies that are doing all data mining of that, and they provide you very, very
prices and everything, intelligence,
pricing, yeah, intelligence, who won, market share, etc. For companies, that is quite. Quite That's helpful. Right. Okay, so you can buy these kinds of information and you can have a very good understanding of the market. The question is, although they are public, they try to, of course, direct for their intents. So you can't simply appear and win. Okay, usually now they have a pre-selection where you have to demonstrate the product. So it's better if you know prior, so if we are involved with the departments, you know that tender will appear. First, you demonstrate the products, you demonstrate the solutions, you prove that your solution is the best one, and then they will try to direct the tender for your solution, not for your particular company, but at least with the features that you are proposing, and that are good for them. Of course, there is another company with exactly the same feature that can provide,
but very likely it will not be that.
Yeah, but so you have to do that work. Okay, you have to do that work. And they try to protect themselves to these kinds of things, okay? Like, they don't want cheap products, for instance, to be there and to appear and to win everything. So they are trying to protect. So the specifications of the tenders are getting more and more tough to get in. So to win, you need to do the work before, you need to do your homework, you need to prepare everything, and then you need to be ready to be in the tender. It is possible, but that works better in partnership with local
Totally. Absolutely, yes, yeah. Manufacturers or distributors who know the game.
There are lots of companies that do that OEM here, okay? A lot. What OEM? So what they do is that they have tenders won OEM. Okay. So what they do, they provide their OEM products to local manufacturers, and they will win the public market with OEM products, national branded, because they have advantage on the tenders because they are national. The prices are different because you can have lower transference prices of parts. You can assemble here, so you will be more competitive. So that is a good approach for the public sector. Do it assemble here.
Okay, very good. All right, so we are speaking about so many things, Luis. I think we can do like 5 different episodes. You are a wealth of knowledge, But the other question is about you. What is it that you guys are doing today in Brazil? Tell me about your business. Tell me about the challenges you're facing with your product or service in Brazil.
I was working for other companies for many years here, okay? But the corporative companies, you know, they are acquired, they change leaders, etc. And then you set up all the business and they come and they change everything. So last time that happened, I decided that still, I will keep working with outside companies, and I'm consultant and I'm helping some companies entering here. But I wanted to have my own business, okay? And as you told in the beginning, they produce everything in Brazil, okay? almost all kinds of products, you can find local manufacturers. Some are OEM, some are local technology, but they do them here. So you have a local competitors that are good, okay, that are important. And we found a market niche. There was no competitors here, okay? We were working in cardiology, and there was a hole in the market. There is a product which is a metabolic analyzer that is done in the cardiology field to do a cardiopulmonary stress test, which now is quite important post-COVID because it's one of the mandatory diagnosis tests. And although there are stress tests here, cardiology systems, the cardiopulmonary stress test, the metabolic function analysis, there are no local manufacturers in Latin America. So it's quite expensive to import because the dollar rates are
exchange rate.
Yeah, the exchange rate is not good right now. So it was a hole in the market here. So we decided to create our own product, and we create a medical device industry with all the knowledge about certifications, products, sales reps, etc. We join an engineering team, we create our own product, and we are selling it in partnership with some outside companies because it's cardiopulmonary stress test. We are a part of that. But during that time, we found another market for that product, which is quite interesting. We create a product for cardiology, but suddenly we found that in the fitness market, like dietitian, nutrologists, etc., they need that technology for other things, which is a side market of the medical device market, easier to work, but with a huge, huge volume. So we are selling a lot for dietitians, nutritionists, for sports centers, some private clinics like wellness, etc. And we are getting quite stronger here. Okay, so now we are planning our moves outside Brazil. Now we have a problem. The most major problem we have is that we cannot produce as much as we sell.
Really? Wow, congratulations. What a good problem.
Yeah, it's congratulations. It is a good problem, but not so good. Okay, not so good. We have problems because we are a tiny industry, so we are a small industry. And you know that there is a problem of components all around the world, so we can't buy microchips, we can't buy parts, and that's a problem. Okay, so we have a few strategies to overcome that, but it is difficult. I believe that until the end of this year, we will be strong enough with the production well structured to start making some tests, like Colombia, for instance. We have a few contacts already in Colombia and Chile, etc. And we will start to grow around Brazil. And then maybe FDA, which is easier than Europe, and let's see. But that is the plan right now. To invert the balance, which is we always import things. Now we are doing very good technology, and we want to do it the opposite road to see how it works.
Wow. And how's it been with the regulatory agency, with Anvisa, to get the product approved? Has it been a fairly straightforward process?
Anvisa, yeah. It's time consuming. To get a company built here, it takes time. Because we have local approvals. You have local approvals, you have like firefighter approvals, you have environment
approvals. Firefighters approvals.
Yeah, you need to have firefighter approvals because you are an industry. So you have lots of certificates that you need. And then you apply for a local Anvisa, which is the visa, which is the local health system. And then you have to apply to the national one. It takes 1 year and a half to get it done. But after you do that, you are protected because your competitors will take 2 years to do the same. And now we can register almost any product until class 3 devices here in Brazil.
Class 3 devices with the new company.
We are ready for class 3. We are only producing class 2A, but we are now ready for class 3. So we are injecting other products in our product lines, and we can do other things as well.
How many people do you have employed?
Working right now, direct employees, we are 26, but we have subcontractors, so we are about 35 people working with us right now. We were 7 before the pandemic. Now we are 35. It is an adventure, but it is nice.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Luis, we're close to the end of the show. I mean, again, I feel like we can talk for hours and hours. I mean,
we could.
The final question that I have for you is about your final words of wisdom. What would you say to the CEO of a US or European company or Asian company that is looking at Brazil as a place to do business? What would be your final thoughts or morsels of wisdom to him or her?
I think the most important advice I can give is that you need to understand the local culture and not try to implement your own culture here. Because there is the idea that, we are from the first world, we are Europeans, we are Americans, we are Japanese, so we are better, our products are better, so we are going there and we are teaching them how to do. That's not true, okay? Brazil and the other countries are quite strong, and they have a different culture that we need to understand. And what they do sometimes is more effective than what they do in other countries. And we need to understand that. We need to be cautious. First, understand the culture, how they work in financials, in taxations, in distribution, but how also they do medicine, how they behave in terms of natural business. And not try to implement our
not culture. Try to impose things on the
so
local
we are
culture.
The foreigners here. It is their market, so we need to adapt. Not they don't need to adapt to us. We need to adapt to them, and that is the mind change.
And I mean, coming from you, you're from Portugal. Just to make sure the audience remembers that, you know exactly what you're talking about because you went through that process.
Yeah, I can tell the first years were quite tough because the culture between Portugal and Brazil, although the language could be the same, the culture is different. For a big period of time, people think I wasn't polite because
really?
The structured way and the precise way I was trying to run the things. For instance, in Brazil, they don't tell you no. You need to understand they don't want. They will give you some tips that they are not interested, but it's unpolite to say, look, no, I'm not interested in that. That's not polite. So it is. It is how they behave. It is how they have grown. And we need to understand that. And you need to try to behave
locally. Exactly, accordingly. You have to meet the signals.
To the signals, yeah, it's different, and you can't fight that. You need to understand, and and move. And that is the major advice I can give. It's a huge market. It's really possible to win and to do lots of things. It's an exploit world, but you need to understand the culture. First, adapt to the culture. In pricing, understand if, for instance, our pricing it is good here, if etc. We need to first adapt, study, and then we need to act. If you try to do it like just box moving, it won't work.
Well, Luis, fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much for your wisdom, for sharing the knowledge here in the podcast. I'm sure our listeners got a lot out of your comments, your experiences. And I look forward to keeping in touch with you. So thank you again.
Welcome. We'll keep in touch.
Bye.
Bye.